If you have your Bible by you, would you keep it open at James chapter 1? I wonder if any verse in particular stood out from that reading we just heard from James chapter 1. For me, it was verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Do you view our current lockdown with joy? Or the pure joy that James urges in that reading. Our Bible study group has been studying the letter of James since the beginning of the year, and it's full of practical instruction. Although written to first century Christians scattered abroad, it's no less useful to us in Lincoln today, especially during this pandemic. James was the half-brother of Jesus, and he became the leader or senior pastor of the large and important church in Jerusalem for 30 years. The book therefore gives us a window into the concerns of the leadership and the issues facing the early church. And there are about 10 main topics that James deals with. And if we study them, we'll realise that they are all relevant today. The first of which is most appropriate for our current situation, dealing with trials of many kinds. Now, particular trials may differ, but our responses shouldn't. Now, that's a starting statement in verse 2, isn't it? Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Is this mere cant, insincere, pious words? Can we take them seriously? Can we see reasons for rejoicing in suffering, hardships, illness, pain, misunderstanding, persecution, isolation? Or even thanking God for them, as Paul urges in his letter to the Thessalonians, where he says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do they have any purpose? Do they benefit us? Well, they must do. Paul, writing to Timothy, told us about Scripture, says Scripture, all Scripture is useful for rebuking and reproving and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And James is not alone. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And Paul said, we glory in our tribulations. And John, in his first letter, said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have been grieved by various trials. Now, it doesn't seem natural, does it? It's countercultural to rejoice in trials. So what's the secret? Well, we need to seek God's wisdom, as urged in verse 5 of James's letter. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. We find God's wisdom throughout Scripture, and from it we can discern at least 5 benefits of trials. There are many more, but at least 5 we'll consider. Well, first of all, trials can stop us in our tracks and allow us to take stock. We may have been going along quite happily in a Christian life, but thoughtlessly, and then realise how far we have gone from God. We may then reassess our priorities. What's most important in our life? This is often the case after a heart attack. When I've spoken to patients having had a heart attack, they've often taken stock of their life and decided to reassess their priorities, as I just said. God may use trials to get our attention. In the words of C.S. Lewis, trials may be God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. So we should ask, God, what are you trying to show me through this trial? God may be using trials to discipline or chastise us. In Hebrews, we read, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? So we should examine ourselves and repent of any unconfessed sin. Of course, not all trials are due directly to our own sin. But we should take stock, and all the reports of death from the pandemic should alert us to our own vulnerability and mortality. Have they prompted you to ask yourself whether you're prepared for death? Secondly, the more we have suffered and come through it with God's help, the easier it is to bear further suffering. They are a test of our faith and love for God. When our faith and love are tested and pass the test, they become stronger. This is James' point in verses 3-4. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Is your faith sustaining you? If not, you may not be placing your faith in the right place. Almighty God and his Son Jesus, who died for you. Thirdly, they can make us realise our own weaknesses. Before, we might have proudly thought we could face anything in our own strength. And then a trial comes and we're humbled and have a more balanced view of reality. They can thus help us to be more dependent upon God. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. When we realise our weakness, we depend upon God for strength. So in weakness, we become strong in God. And God had reminded Paul that his grace was sufficient for him. Have you been surprised at your failings during this lockdown, this social isolation? If so, be glad at being humbled and made more dependent upon God. Fourthly, our own suffering may help us to empathise with others who suffer even more severely. I think of imprisoned Christians throughout the world. Many Christians are imprisoned for their faith in Jesus. Now, I felt very restricted in this lockdown. I haven't been able to go out more than once a day. And that has just given me a small sense, which if we multiply it many times, helps me to better empathise with our suffering Christian brothers and sisters, those who are imprisoned or those who are prevented from going out or meeting with others for fear of being recognised as a Christian. I went down the street the other day to post a letter, and a lady coming towards me crossed over to the other side. And that made me feel a little uncomfortable. And I started to think that if we multiply that many times, we start to get a feeling of what it must be like to be, say, a Christian Dalit in India, one of the untouchables, those who are given the meanest of tasks to do, and people avoid them and won't touch them. Or lepers, who used to go around saying unclean so people wouldn't come close to them. So we can better empathise with other people who suffer far more severely than we do. And finally, let's consider the opportunities that trials, including our current situation, provide. Well, we're able to spend more time reading the Bible, recalling some of God's many promises to us, and also to recall how God has helped us in previous trials. Have you taken advantage of the free time in isolation to read more the Bible and Christian books? Another opportunity. It can be a powerful witness, our response to suffering, and an encouragement to others. I know that when I hear stories of how Christians throughout the world are persecuted and stand up for the faith, up for their faith in the face of death. Many refuse to recant, especially those who have converted from Islam to Christianity. They're often made to recant their faith, the pain of death, and they're prepared to do it in so many cases, and that does inspire and encourage me. Remember that family and friends may be observing us and seeing how we respond to this current isolation. When we phone friends and family, have we moaned or have we been positive? And the fear of this pandemic is a wonderful opportunity to share with friends and neighbours the good news of free salvation through faith in Jesus. Whilst thoughts are turned to death, it's easier to turn conversations round to the gospel. A Christian in Leeds called Roger Carswell produced a leaflet right at the beginning of this pandemic entitled Hope After Coronavirus, or Hope Beyond Coronavirus, which explains about coronavirus but also presents the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And this is a good, people can send for these leaflets. I sent for leaflets, and it's possible to easily send them to other people, to put them through letterboxes, to send them to family and friends at this time. Trials may also be the means of turning non-Christians to God. One of my favourite books is Robinson Crusoe. And in that story, Robinson Crusoe becomes seriously ill on that desert island, and he thought he was going to die. And in his distress, he called to God. He turned to the Lord. And as he gained strength, he went to a chest he'd recently retrieved from the shipwreck, and in it were three Bibles. And he opened one at Psalm 50, verse 15, where he read, "Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you." And that verse was used to convert him. He became a new person. He placed his trust in Jesus. And he had new motives, new attitudes, new desires. And when Man Friday came onto the island, he converted him. Now, you might say that's just a story. Well, it is just a story, but it's perhaps more than that, because in a sense it's autobiographical of Daniel Defoe, who wrote it, because he was in a similar circumstance. It was in London, not in a Caribbean island, and it was during bankruptcy rather than a severe illness, but he was severely distressed, and in his distress he called from the Lord, opened his Bible for the first time in many years, and turned to Psalm 50, that same verse that Robinson Crusoe read in the story. And he became converted, and the rest of his life he devoted to God, and the novels he wrote had a Christian message. And it's interesting that he's also well known for writing a commentary on the plague year 1665, because he lived during that great plague of London, which ended with the fire of London in 1666, and he wrote a very interesting report of his feelings, his actions, and what was happening in the capital during that terrible plague. Do you pray that people who are suffering, perhaps earthquake, starvation, flood, fire, war, persecution, do you pray that in their distress they might turn to the Lord, their only real and eternal hope? I think that's a good prayer, always useful, always important to prayed in those sort of terms. Now, we mustn't misunderstand this teaching of James. We aren't expected to enjoy our sufferings, our trials. In fact, in Hebrews, we learn that they are painful. We're not masochists. We're only happy when we're miserable. And it's not a question of being stoical or having the British stiff upper lip. We are to consider trials pure joy, not for the actual suffering, but for the benefits that follow. Remember, Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. He wouldn't have enjoyed the actual suffering on the cross. Who would? But he endured it for the joy that his death would bring him, the salvations of millions, perhaps billions, who would trust in his death. We are urged to both rejoice and give thanks in everything, when we're going through a severe trial, as well as when things are going well. Remember, God will not let us be tested more than we can endure. Let me give you an example of someone who was able to be thankful in her trials. I'm thinking of Fanny Crosby, the American hymn writer. She was called the American Hymn Queen. And she wrote about 6,000 hymns, including Blessed Assurance, To God Be the Glory, and All the Way My Saviour Leads Me. She was blind. She was blinded by the ineptitude of her doctor when she was about 6 weeks old. And this is what she said subsequently about her blindness. It seemed intended by the blessed providence of God that I should be blind all my life. And I thank him for this dispensation. If perfect earthly sight were offered me tomorrow, I would not accept it. I might not have sung hymns to the praise of God if I'd been distracted by the beautiful and interesting things about me. Isn't that a wonderful testimony? And Christians realise that whatever befalls us in this life, we have a place in heaven. And life in this world is not everything. Far from it, we're just pilgrims on our way to heaven. So it does make sense to see trials as James sees them, despite it being countercultural and perhaps unnatural. There are many benefits, and we can look ahead with joy to the crown of life, which James refers to in verse 12. He says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." This is the ultimate result of persevering under trials. We'll receive the crown of life. A crown is on offer to all who love God. A crown which consists of eternal life in fellowship with God. If we place that in the scales over against our present trials, they'll seem light in comparison. And we can see all this in the greater promise revealed to Paul that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Let me finish by quoting from a sermon preached by a Francis Grimke. He was a black slave emancipated at the age of 15 at the end of the Civil War. He then trained for the ministry at Princeton College in New Jersey, America, and subsequently became pastor of a Presbyterian church in Washington, D.C. And he was the pastor there during the Asian flu pandemic of 1918, when churches were closed. And his sermon is entitled, "Some Reflections Growing Out of the Recent Pandemic of Influenza Which Afflicted Our City." And he tells how Christians should respond to such a pandemic. The churches were closed, and part of his sermon, he spoke about how the people in Washington had expressed their regret that the churches had been closed. And he hoped that after the churches reopened, many would be more regular in their Sunday worship when they realised what they'd been missing. But he also spoke about faith. He says, if faith is to help us in this epidemic, if it is to put its great strong arms under us, if we are to feel its sustaining power under such distressing circumstances, it must be a real, living faith in God. It's a good time for us Christians to examine ourselves, to see exactly how it is with us, whether the foundation upon which we are building is a rock foundation, whether our faith is really resting on Christ, the solid rock, or not. Let's pray. O God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and especially for the fresh perspective on our difficult circumstances that James's letter provides. Help us to see beyond the sufferings of this pandemic to the real benefits that they bring to those who place their trust in you, so that we may all rejoice and give thanks. Amen. We're now going to